Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're continuing in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 today that talk about walking in the Spirit. We'll not hear a lot about the Holy Spirit's relationship to the child of God in this book, but we do hear something about it in these two verses, verse 5 in particular. But before we get back into that, let me ask you if you could possibly help us in this closing month of the year, the month of December, with the expense of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this station. And for a gift of any amount, we will gladly send you your choice of one of two books by Tom Wells, either Come Home Forever, an excellent book both for believers and unbelievers, and God is King. Really, that book is good for both as well, but I think maybe is more targeted to Christians. And these are available without cost for a gift of any amount to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. And thank you so much for helping us keep this ministry on the air. Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Now, you recall that the whole controversy in the book of Galatians was primarily whether or not circumcision was necessary for salvation. Paul opens chapter 5 by saying, "Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ hath made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That is, stand fast in the truth that justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then he goes on in verses 2 through 4 to tell us that if you fall back into the way of thinking that says justification is accomplished in whole or in part by works, that is, by keeping some element of the law, you have fallen from grace. And that's where the phrase falling from grace comes from. Falling from grace is failing to rely upon Christ alone for salvation, and instead relying in whole or in part upon works. You can't be justified by Christ plus works, because though you might think that it's possible to blend the two, God's Word tells us that it's either or. And if you are attempting to be justified by works in any part, then Christ avails you nothing. You are fallen from grace. That's what verse 4 says. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. But now we read in verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What is Paul telling us here? Well, he's telling us that God's Spirit keeps us in the way of faith. We, in contrast with you, who are being persuaded to return to works, who are being persuaded to be circumcised in order to be saved. But we, Paul and his missionary team, are relying in Christ alone. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We and all who are trusting in Christ alone. We who are relying on Christ alone for salvation. We who are regenerated by and dwelt by and consequently led by the Holy Spirit of God. We are the ones who are eagerly anticipating the day of perfect righteousness. That's the hope that he's talking about here. A biblical expectation of the day of perfect righteousness, which will come, and that comes to those who are related to God by faith. This hope which begins by faith and continues by faith and concludes by faith. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And then he says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. This is to tell us that God's Spirit produces in us the fruit of faith. In Christ, circumcision is nothing. It's a matter indifferent. Now, earlier he had said, I testify, verse 3, to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. He said in verse 2, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That doesn't sound like it's a matter indifferent, circumcision. It sounds like if you do it, you are in trouble. But, of course, again, in the context, that is if you do it because you think that's necessary for justification. But as a matter of fact, in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, circumcision makes no difference. For in Christ Jesus, that is for those who are in Christ, those who are relying upon Christ alone for salvation, grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, for those, then neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, it is a matter indifferent, because it makes no difference in justification. You're justified by faith in Christ, not by circumcision, so you can be justified by faith in Christ as an uncircumcised person. Or you can be justified by faith in Christ as a circumcised Jew, or as a Gentile who for whatever reason has become circumcised, as long as you didn't do it in order to be justified. Because if you did that, then you're not relying upon Christ, and you're not in Christ. But in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It makes no difference in justification, one way or the other. It makes no difference in your identification as a Christian. Whether you're circumcised or not makes no difference. It made a big difference in identification as a Jew. It made all the difference. It made the whole difference. If you weren't circumcised, you couldn't be identified as a Jew. In fact, if you tried to be, you would be cast out. You couldn't call yourself a Jew and be uncircumcised. With a Jew, circumcision was the most important identifying factor, but not as a Christian. In Christ, it makes no difference. You can be a circumcised Christian, you can be an uncircumcised Christian. It makes absolutely no difference. And furthermore, it makes no difference in your acceptance into the fellowship of the saints, at least where saints are acting upon truth. You will be received into the fellowship of believers because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not based upon your circumcision. Now that, of course, takes us back to Galatians chapter 2. And that's why Paul was so adamant, why he withstood Peter to his face, because there, this rule, this truth was violated. That group of Jewish Christians was refusing to fellowship with Gentile Christians because they had not been circumcised and would not submit to circumcision and to the Mosaic dietary laws. And Paul said, I withstood Peter to his face because he was to be blamed, because that was wrong. That was an attack upon the gospel itself. Why? This explains why. Because your Christian standing is based upon faith in Jesus Christ, not upon justification. Your Christian identity is based upon faith in Jesus Christ, not upon circumcision or any other work. And therefore, your reception into the fellowship of the saints is based upon your faith in Christ and not upon circumcision or anything else. What matters is faith, not circumcision. What matters is faith, not reliance upon any tenet of the law for salvation. In fact, he's telling us that the evidence of faith is not circumcision. The evidence of the faith is love. A heart that loves God, a heart that loves God's people. Did you catch that? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. faith alone, grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone is the way of salvation. But a man claims to have believed in Christ, has he or hasn't he? What do you look for? The Judaizers would say, you ask him if he's been circumcised. If he's truly believing in Christ, then he'll submit to circumcision. Paul says, no, 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 no. Not circumcision, not dietary laws, not anything in the Mosaic law. If you want evidence that a man has truly trusted in Christ, see what he loves. Does he love God? Does he love God's word? Does he love God's people? Does he love righteousness? Does he love the Lord Jesus Christ? If his loves are in the right place, then he evidently has truly believed in Jesus Christ. If he says he's believed in Jesus Christ, but he loves the world, he loves sin, he loves to company with people who are not the people of God, then he has not been saved, because the faith that saves works through love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith working through love. So, falling from grace. That's what this whole passage was about, verses 1 through 6. What is that about? Is that about losing salvation or losing your understanding of the way of salvation? It is the latter. When you lose your understanding that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then you've fallen from grace. We dare not drop our vigilance for justification by grace alone, because it is continually under attack. Continually. It was in Paul's day. It is in our day. It has been all down through church history. There are many people who call themselves Christians who are endeavoring to get you to rely upon something other than the person and work of Christ for your salvation. They will tell you that you must do this, you must do that. Some kind of work salvation. Faith in Christ, they usually will not deny faith in Christ. They will not denigrate Christ. They will say that they believe in Christ, but they will tell you that's not enough. Faith in Christ might be the starting point, but that's not enough. It's going to have to be faith in Christ plus water baptism, faith in Christ plus, and it can be so many other things, I don't even hardly know where to begin. You've got to believe in Christ and do these other things, and of course, keep on doing many of these other things. Some of them you only have to do once, like water baptism, but some of them you'll have to continue to do. If you don't keep it up, it's like Christ made a good down payment, but you've got to keep up the installments, and the installments are never done. You never pay it off. You've got to keep up the installments until the day that you die, and if you don't, you have no assurance of salvation. That's contrary to the gospel. That is a counterfeit. That must be rejected. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we've got to rely upon that for our own salvation, and we've got to continually proclaim that and defend that to others in the face of much error which is infiltrating the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and is disguised as the gospel, but it is not. Stand fast, dear friend. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.